We are the 1, 2, 3
Sore Losers!
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
And what's up? I'm Eddie. I know the least about sports, but I'm your average sports watcher, your sports fan. I just don't know the who's who's or the what's what's.
Yeah. Woo! All right. Here we go. Let's play the game that's sweeping America. Would you rather?
Kick it. Game on!
Good job covering that.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Would you rather spend Christmas alone or New Year's Eve alone?
Oh, that's an easy one. I like New Year's Eve alone. I'm not crazy about New Year's Eve. I'm telling you, I've never had a New Year's Eve party or celebration that's so memorable. The last one I remember, I told you guys, I had to pee in a bottle. I was trying to get downtown, and I had to go so bad, but there was nowhere to go to the bathroom, so I peed in a bottle, and it went all over me, and I was like, let's just go home. This is so dumb. That's really my most memorable New Year's Eve night. I don't have one, so wow. I don't really care. Like, I'm good with the TV on and watching other people celebrate or acting like they're having a good time. Christmas is when I want everyone around. I want to be around everyone at Christmas time.
Yeah, I want to be around people at Christmas because New Year's, you can be alone and you can go anywhere and you can find people.
True.
You can have nobody, but then have a bunch of people. You can go to any place. There is a party for New Year's Eve.
Anywhere.
Christmas, there's nowhere to go.
It's dead.
It's dead. The only place you can go is the movie theater, and you don't talk to people at the movie theater. It's just you by yourself watching a movie. But besides that, New Year's Eve is so... You go anywhere, there's a party, and everybody is so welcoming on New Year's Eve. Everybody is the best of friends on New Year's Eve because they're excited about starting...
And they're
drunk. Yes, they're drunk, and they're excited about starting the new year and the ball dropping, and, you know, everybody, woo, it's going to be such a good year. So... Everybody is excited and happy, so everybody's friendly to everybody on New Year's Eve, and that's where it's at.
Have you had a good New Year's
I've
Eve?
I've had some great New Year's Eve.
Like, tell me about them.
Well, I used to do a live broadcast from 6th Street in Austin at Pure Ultra Lounge.
I remember that place.
And they used to have the ball drop and everything like that, and I would go up on the rooftop at midnight, and the ball would drop, and we'd have champagne and be overlooking 6th Street.
And you were single at this point.
Single at this point. And let me tell you, you want to talk about a... how do you call it?
What?
Panty dropper?
Uh-huh.
You bring a chick up on the rooftop and she has champagne and she gets to watch the little ball drop that Pure Ultra Lounge had.
Like VIP style.
VIP
where
style.
Where no one else is allowed.
Where nowhere else, no one else is allowed. There's like you and 10 people up there.
And
the
you,
owners of the bar, their girlfriends.
And your random chick that you
yes.
get.
Yes. And you bring her up there and she sees all the people on 6th Street and she sees the confetti shooting
panty
and the
dropper.
Streamers. Guaranteed
what? And then
she's coming home and guaranteed.
And you spend the new year with this chick
yeah,
at home?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you ring in the new year with a rando in your place.
Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's how you start your year.
That's how you start the year.
Wow.
It was awesome. So much fun.
I don't know. I think when I was growing up, my parents just were so like, no, this is a holiday. We spend it together. And I always
New Year's?
All of them. Name the holiday we were together. This was me in high school and me like right after high school when I lived at home. But I was just so when I was able to go out and celebrate and do whatever I wanted on New Year's Eve, I didn't know what to do. And I had this expectation of it being amazing. And it was never amazing.
Now,
maybe I could have gone to the ball drop with you, dude,
yes.
And panty drop a little bit.
Now, I've never been to like Miami or anything like that, but I've spent a few in New Year's Eve's in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Awesome. But I've never been on the strip when the New Year strikes because it's so crowded. They shut down. You can't go in and out of the casino, things like that. It gets so crowded. I've always been at a concert on New Year's Eve, and it's pretty cool to go to a concert.
Like what concert? Oh, you saw Bruno one year,
I saw Bruno Mars one year. I saw the Red Hot Chili Peppers one year. Yeah, and Red Hot Chili, and they stop in the middle, and they do a countdown and everything. It was awesome. I saw them at the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas.
What songs did the Chili Peppers sing?
Californication.
Okay, how does that one go?
Californication.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Californication.
Yeah.
Water Under the Bridge or something like that?
No.
Yeah.
Close.
Under the Bridge?
There we go.
There we go.
How does that one go?
You'd have to give me a refresher.
Under the bridge, down to... Oh. It goes... how I felt that day.
Take me to the place I love.
There you go.
Take me where, you know.
There you go. Okay. What else?
Danny, California.
Sing that one.
I don't know. Man, see, I can, if you sing it a little bit, I may be able to pick up, but I don't know. But Bruno Mars, who else did I see? I saw Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga on New Year's Eve.
That's got to be a snoozer.
Fantastic.
What?
Wait,
what? Like, what'd they do? Like New York, New York.
Yes. She comes out in an evening gown, like a very classy dress, and sings, and it was phenomenal.
Really?
Phenomenal.
Like a meat dress?
No. This is classy Lady Gaga.
Oh, not normal.
Right, not
poker face.
Right. Rah, 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 rah. No, it was classy Lady Gaga, and I didn't think it would be that exciting. It was a phenomenal concert. I don't know, but she can sing, and I was amazed. Tony Bennett, that dude is old.
Well, yeah, he can sing. He's known.
Old.
To sing.
And he could sing. He could sing.
but he is like a singer. Like.
Right, but I don't know anything about Tony Bennett. I couldn't tell you one Tony Bennett song. I don't know anything about him. I just went, and it was wow. And my buddy, okay, here's the funny part. My buddy Ryan really wanted to go. So we go, and we went to Vegas. He's there. And we're
So Ryan is the reason you guys wanted to go see
Tony
Bennett.
No. I was going because my wife was marketing the concert.
Okay.
And so Ryan was like, oh my God.
He's a fan.
Super fan. And we go, and we're at the Cosmo during the day, and we're like, oh, let's play some blackjack, right? So we sit down at a blackjack table. It's me, my wife, Garrett, his wife, Ryan, Sal.
Okay, no one knows these people, but thank you for naming them.
Rebecca, and then we sit with some random dude.
Oh, Rebecca was there too?
Yeah. Okay. And so we're there, and I mean, we sat at the same blackjack table for probably 6 hours, and we are doing...
Sounds miserable.
No, it is so fun. Like, this guy that we were playing with, Richard.
Richard. Okay. He was there too.
Yes, and because we weren't talking to him at the beginning, and we were like...
Are you making his name up, or are you... Remember?
No. I'm going to tell you the story. Okay. So we're sitting there, and finally, we've been drinking a while, and finally Ryan goes, hey, man, what's your name? And he goes, Richard. Oh, okay, we'll play a couple more hands. And then Ryan goes, well, why'd you laugh? Like, what's your real name? And he goes, well, my friends call me Big Dick. And we're like, that's funny, because he was like 6'5", 250 pounds, 300 pounds. I mean, he was a big dude, okay. And his name's Richard.
Yeah.
So he's like, my nickname's Big Dick. And so then of course, you don't tell us that. We just go, big dick, all day long. This dude, okay, so then Ryan and
please tell me Big Dick's famous.
No, Big Dick is not famous. Okay. He's just some guy from St. Louis.
Okay.
Okay, and he starts betting big money and winning big money.
Of course, Big Dick.
And
that's how he goes.
So Ryan, being drunk, goes, I bet you won't bet the max, which was like $2,000, and then $100 on the side bet, where if you get like two queens, you win, you know, things like that. So Big Dick goes, okay, you guys sit out, and I'll go ahead and I'll play it. So he pays the $2,000 and the $100 on there. King, he wins. Boom, boom.
Big Dick!
I mean, we went crazy.
Wow!
Crazy! And then... We the moral of the story is we played for hours. Ryan got so drunk, he never made it to Tony Bennett, Lady Gaga.
And he was the fan.
He was the one that wanted to go. Of Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga. He wanted to go so bad, but he was throwing up so much in his hotel room that was it. He was done. And then here's the crazy part. It was right after my wife and I got engaged. And so... Big Dick, the next morning, he didn't even know us. Like, he found out our information somehow and sent breakfast to our hotel room.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you made his night.
It was
Big,
just...
Big Dick was by himself. He would have spent...
Was there, yeah, he was a whale. Like, he was there on...
What do you mean a whale?
A whale is someone they invite to the casino for free, and they pay for your travel, your hotel.
Really?
Because you're going to spend so much money. Yeah.
Oh, so Big... It's not out of the ordinary that Big Dick's going to make big bets like the
right,
one he did.
Right, exactly. But he... found out our information and ordered room service, a cart full of food to our room to say congratulations.
Dang.
It was awesome.
Do you still connect with Big Dick?
No, but I got his number.
It's calling.
I still have it on my phone.
Do you want to call Big Dick right now?
It's been four years. He doesn't know me.
What? Well, there's no way.
He doesn't remember.
He has to remember you. All you have to do is, dude, New Year's Eve, big dick at the table. You bet that big bet. You hit the king.
Yeah.
All that money. And then you got us room service.
That was it. So, I've had some great New Year's. I've had a lot of fun on New Year's.
I have not.
And you get all dressed up. Vegas people get dressed up.
Have you ever done the New York Times Square?
No, never would want to do that in my life.
Why not?
Because you can't move. You have to get there at like 2 in the afternoon. Okay.
Okay.
And you're stuck in those little, because they barricade little sections.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
And you're stuck
but
in the barricades.
They don't fill up the barricades. They put them like half full so you have room to move.
You can't, no. People tell me you got to wear a diaper to go to the bathroom because you can't leave.
Well, you can't leave the barricade
because
you lose
so
your spot.
You're stuck there for 10 hours.
And do they sell beer or something there?
I think so. But how terrible would that be to be sit there in the freezing cold and have to pee yourself?
Yeah.
No, thank you. So that's...
Yeah, I mean, that sounds miserable. Yes, I talked to some guy, though, the other day who said one year he went to the New York Times Square one, and he was like, he's just visiting New York, and they were like, let's go try it. Okay, they hit a subway. They had no idea where the subway was going. They got off. They're like, I think the ball is somewhere here. They get off. He goes up the stairs, gets on the street, and he goes straight into a bar because there's a lot of people. Just a lot of people. He goes into the bar. He orders, they start drinking. They don't know where they're at in Times Square or in New York City. They start drinking. They're like, oh, man, look, it's almost midnight. They walk out the door, and they're literally right under the ball. And they're like, this is the best experience I've ever had in my life.
Is awesome.
They had no idea what they were doing. They ended up being in the right place at the right time.
My brother went to New Orleans one New Year's with some buddies. 45 minutes into the night, lost his friends. And he said it was
by himself,
said it was the best New Year's he's ever had in his life.
You didn't have to worry about anything.
Said it was so amazing. He had so much fun.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think my days are done too. I'm not going to be looking for that.
No, you're probably not. It's over. Your New Year's is over. I remember as a kid running out in the front yard, banging the pots and pans and being all excited. I thought that was so cool. But
so today, what do you do? I buy fireworks for the boys.
I don't know. I have a newborn, so I doubt I will do fireworks because I don't think he'll enjoy the fireworks.
No, he probably won't even know what that is.
Probably just hang out. The past couple of years, I've been in Austin, and I go over to my buddy Garrett's house, and we have the New Year's Eve. We have Aus Vegas.
Aus Vegas, Austin/Vegas.
Yeah, where we gamble and play right, left, center, and things like that.
Oh, that's fun.
And it's just a bunch of people, and people bring their kids, and that way everybody can get together.
Okay.
Yeah. But I would rather be with people on Christmas, and that's how we play.
Oh, dang it.
Would you rather?
Game on!
Dang, without Ray here, dude, I'm stressing out on this board.
Don't worry about it.
Sounds good, though.
No, it sounds good. And I want to come in all excited, talk sports, and be just pumped up. And I wake up to the news.
What?
Josh Gordon is walking away from football for now.
Why?
He said he needs to focus on his mental health, and in a statement on Twitter, he said, I take my mental health very seriously at this point to ensure I remain able to perform at the highest level. I have recently felt like I could have a better grasp on things mentally. With that said, I will be stepping away from the football field for a bit to focus on my mental health. He went on to thank the Patriots, the owner, the organization, Bill Belichick,
for giving him that chance.
According to ESPN's Dan Graziano, Gordon is facing a potential suspension for violating the terms of his conditional reinstatement under the NFL's drug policy.
I was wondering when that was going to come up.
Man.
Because if you reading it, I was just like, well, okay, maybe he realized that he had a problem and he realized before he messes up again, he's going to try to fix himself and, get himself in the right place. But that's not the case. You just read it. So I guess he messed up. Again,
I feel absolutely terrible for this guy. It's hard because he is battling, like he is fighting something.
Well, yeah,
he's fighting demons, and I don't know if he's if he's addicted to the drugs, or if he does the drugs to numb the pain of what he's felt for his whole life, and he's trying to bury those feelings, and he doesn't know how to deal with it otherwise. Either way. I just feel awful. I just feel awful because I want this guy and anybody that's fighting these demons, you want them.
Everyone's fighting demons. I mean, no matter what they are. Yeah,
no,
sure.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not fighting any demons.
You do. You have something in there that you're fighting that you just don't think is a big deal right now, but it will.
I am talking.
This is career ending. I mean, this is a big one.
Is this his last chance? Is this the.
But coach, football may not be his thing. You know, I mean, yes, this has been his whole life football. But when people find out that what their demons are and when they fight them, like, you realize that there's something more important than what I thought was the most important thing in my life. And in his case, football. He thinks that football is the most important thing in his life. The only thing, probably the only thing he's really succeeded at. You know what I mean? To the highest level. Dude, he's a great NFL receiver, and he's successful, and he's made a lot of money doing it, so he probably thinks this is what he was supposed to do. But then, you know, I mean, maybe he's going to realize, take this break and realize, no, there's something else that I was supposed to do. Maybe mentor children, mentor kids.
Maybe he
start a family. I don't know if he has a family or not. Clean himself up and start another business, whatever it is.
No, he can find something else, but I think football for him is an escape. Like
from the beginning of his life.
From the beginning of his life. Yeah. And that's what he knows. That's where he goes to. And that's where he feels whole, maybe, is on the football field. And it's the problem is when all the downtime and when he's away from the field, those demons or whatever is getting him creeps back in and he turns to something that he's not supposed to. And maybe the pressure of the NFL drives him that way too, of the stress. But I think football is an escape. And makes him feel like when he was a little kid, he probably was, oh my gosh, on the football field or playing sports is probably when he felt whole and he felt like a kid. And off of it, that's when everything else came and was pulling at him and he had the trouble. And I feel bad for him. I really do. I feel bad because he's been open about it. Like he's trying. Like,
but he keeps getting...
Right,
he keeps getting in trouble again.
But he's trying. I mean, that's because it's hard. It's not easy. If it was just easy, everybody that had these problems would just walk away from those problems and the drugs or the alcohol. They would just walk away. But it's not easy.
I guess what I'm saying is you're right. But what I'm saying is that him walking away from football isn't like the worst thing in the world. I mean, this is.
But it could be because football, it gives him a purpose and a reason to try to
stay. That's a Band-Aid.
But I'm saying the
trouble that he has inside is a big deal, and football is just a cover-up, just a distraction. It's kind of like people that drink, that have the drinking problems. Their distraction is to just be around people that won't let them drink. But the second they're not around those people that allow them to drink, they start drinking. So this is just a distraction. There's a deeper thing that he's got to fix, and hopefully that's what he's going
to
do.
Right, and that's what he's been trying to do, and he hasn't been able to, and that's what I feel bad about, is there is something deeper, and he's tried to fix it. He's been trying and trying for years, and for some reason he can't fix it. And I don't know if it's from, you know, his childhood just being so rough.
No, we don't know. I mean,
and so
who knows?
What I'm saying is football gives him a reason maybe to – Keep battling, and hopefully they say he's suspended forever, he doesn't just go down the dark path because he thinks in his head, you know what, I have nothing else to live for. Like, I have nothing else to strive for. I don't have anything else to battle for. I battled to play football because that's what made me feel whole, and if they take football away, is this what makes him go...
So this could get real deep because football is that for a lot of people,
for
right?
For a lot of people, because you know, a lot of people... It's just a game.
It's just a dumb game.
But you hear people say, football saved my life, or basketball
right?
saved my life,
sure.
Baseball saved my life. So you just knocked your
computer
off.
Don't worry about it.
You just knocked your computer off the counter.
I was getting animated about this.
And that's what I mean. Because some of these people, they do. Sports... or whatever, save their lives.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying, like Josh Gordon. I feel like football gave him a purpose.
But that's a mirage, Coach. You know, like, it is, yes, you hear it all the time. Football saved my life. Football kept me off the streets.
True.
Football, whatever.
Yeah.
All true. But that's just a game. It's just a game. Football didn't do it. It's the fact that you concentrated on something else positive than focusing on the bad stuff. It's not the game that changed your life because it's just a game.
Well, to you
know what I mean?
No, to you, it's just a game. Maybe some of these people feel like football was their only option to get out of wherever they're from.
I get that. But what I'm saying is when you take football away, because a lot of these guys don't play after college or don't even get to college or you know, can't even play in the NFL. So at the end of the day, they can't depend on football because that's going to end someday. So
right, but they don't expect it to end this way, and they don't, a lot of them, maybe they do see that once they get their life together and they say, okay, you know, football is eventually going to end. But a lot of people struggle when football or baseball or basketball, when their careers end, they struggle.
Because they have to face
the reality that this is not the rest of my life.
Yes.
Because when they're growing up, they see it as this is my life, and they don't realize, man, a lot of these people retire by the age of 35. What am I going to do with the rest of my life? But from when they were 10 years old, all they think is football, football, basketball, basketball, baseball, 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 hockey, 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 and you're trained that way. We had Shawn Johnson in here.
Yeah.
And she talked about she dealt with depression when she
quit
left
her sport.
Gymnastics.
Yeah.
Because you train your whole life and then all of a sudden it's over. But I hope.
And you start trying to find the real purpose of your life. And
yes.
I hope this is what Josh Gordon does, and I hope he gets better. Yes, you're right, man. This is a sad one for him, and it sucks. But I think this is the start of something good for him, not something bad.
Oh, man, I worry.
I mean, we see him as a great wide receiver and his potential at what he can do at the game of football. But in his life, I think he can find something way better than football.
I hope. You know? I really hope so. I hope that he can do something. Maybe he can be a mentor. Or he can be
something.
A motivational speaker. If he can, you know, something. I don't know. But man, I just. Oh man.
Yeah.
I feel bad.
I mean, you've been feeling like this since the beginning. After he got let go from Cleveland, like you clearly stated how you felt about this.
Yes, I felt bad for him. I from the beginning, like, okay, you know, you get one suspension, two suspensions. And then it's just something deeper. You know, okay, like someone tests positive for some marijuana. Okay, like a lot of guys smoke weed. Who cares? Like, to me, that's not a big deal. But this, with him, there's a deeper issue and there's deeper problems.
What are his drugs? Like, what is he?
I don't know.
They get in detail on what he does?
No, I haven't really. I don't read about what he's done, but he said he's done coke. He said he's been doing it all. Like, back in the day before games. Like, just from like the age of like 12. Because he had such a rough childhood. But yes, Josh Gordon, I hope he gets it together.
Yep.
I hope he's okay. And you're a big better.
I mean, I like to bet.
Okay. And betting can rip your heart out, right?
Yes, it hurts.
Did you see the last night, Penn State was playing Duquesne University.
I'm sorry, where?
I don't even know what. But Penn State, -5.5, okay? So they had to win by 6 points or more to cover the spread.
Sure. I mean, that sounds like a no-brainer.
They are
go
tied.
Penn State.
They are tied at 67 with 5 seconds to go.
Okay.
So if you bet on Duquesne, you're thinking, oh, yeah, baby, I got this in the bag.
Which probably no one bet on Duquesne.
Oh, well, they probably did.
Maybe somebody.
There's gamblers that bet on everything.
Yeah.
Duquesne gets a foul called on them. With 5 seconds to go, the coach loses it.
Gets kicked out.
Gets two technicals.
Oh, my goodness.
So Penn State gets 6 free throws.
They make them all?
They made all 6 free throws. And they win 73-67.
And 98% of the bettors went with Penn State and were really happy about that.
No, 98% didn't.
For sure, coach.
No.
Who what's out of the school?
I think you said
Duquesne.
Duquesne?
I mean, Duquesne with a 5-point spread. You know, I guess there would be people to take that because they would think that Penn State would just kill this no-name school. You know?
There's guaranteed there's action on both sides.
Probably.
But I'm just saying, how
sucks
bad would that be? Let's say you got $500 on this game, and you're sitting there with 5 seconds going, yeah, woo, woo, and then you see the coach flip his lid, and
how do they decide two technicals?
Because he just kept going.
So just like, here's one,
shut up. Yep, and then
keep going.
You gone.
Oh, boy.
How, I mean, you're sitting there watching your TV, and you're like, no.
That sucks.
And the odds that they're going to make all six
of
free
them.
Throws.
Yeah, to cover the spread. And it's almost like the when, you know, the game's over and someone's just like, they're counting down the clock, 1, 2, 1.5, and then they just throw it from half court and they make it. You know,
those? Yes, and then you're just like, oh my God, why?
Really? They just made that 3-point shot and now I lost my bet.
Yeah, my buddy, he went to Baylor and I was at the game. It was a Elite Eight game down in Houston. Baylor was playing Duke, and Duke was favored by 5, I believe. And they're up by 4 with 1.2 seconds left, and they get the rebound. Down to 0.7 seconds left, and Baylor fouls.
Mm.
My buddy had bet $1,000 on Baylor.
$1,000. That's crazy.
But he, with 0.7, he's
Coach,
in it. And they foul with 0.7. No point, because you can't win. Duke goes down, sinks both free throws, wins by 6, covers the spread. Oh! That just rips your heart out, because he
betting thousands of dollars rips my heart out.
He was a Baylor alum. He's a that's all he does. He gambles. Oh, that's his life.
That's his life. That's how he makes money. He gambles.
In high school, he would go to the pool hall, Slick Willie's, and he would hustle people. That. He'd hustle.
Is that the one on Lamar?
Yeah. Or Burnett.
Yeah,
he would go hustle people. He was a high schooler, and he would go in there and hustle people for money. And his parents busted him and said, you can't do that anymore. So he would park behind the Slick Willie's and go in. So they wouldn't see his car? If they drove by, wouldn't see his car. And he couldn't put the cash in his bank account, so he would hide it in his shirt pockets in his closet.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it. And he still gambles?
Still gambles.
Today.
To this day.
That's his income.
That's his income. He was on the
sports betting? Or everything?
Now, poker mostly, I think. I don't know about sports betting, but he did, I think it was last year, the World Series of Poker.
Yeah.
He made the top whatever, and he made money, and they showed him on TV.
Really?
They said, oh, Austin Lewis, you know, he goes out right here, but he can enjoy him a couple rounds at Barton Creek Country Club down there in Austin.
So my wife's really good friend from Dallas, her ex-husband,
uh-huh.
They probably have five kids together. He's a professional poker player.
Yeah.
So he's always on that World Series of Poker. I'll turn it on randomly and he's on there. And it's crazy that that's how they live their life.
That has to be the most stressful thing ever to know you're relying on your gambling skills to provide food for your family.
So explain to me poker. Do you really, is it skill?
Yes.
But it's,
I mean, there are some
bad luck.
Doesn't
it come down to like the cards you get? You just don't get the cards?
Sometimes there's bad luck, but there's a lot of skill involved. A lot of skill.
So it's not luck.
No.
There's some luck.
There's some, yes. But it is a lot of skill.
Because you say gambling, and I don't automatically think like, oh, there's skill to that. There may be skill to how you bet.
There's skill to every gambling. I mean, like blackjack.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the MIT kids that were, you know, they were counting cards.
Yeah.
There's a skill to it if you know what you're doing. When to bet big, when to bet small, when to go in, all in, when to pull.
Know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
We should write a song about that. And that's what I'm saying, but poker is a skill. Like, okay. Yes, it is a skill.
I didn't know all that.
I just thought
it's like, okay, you know how to bluff. I know bluffing's a skill.
You got to be able to read people and you got to be able to do the math and try to think, okay, what does this guy have that he could possibly, you know what I mean?
Sure.
You had to go through all
the look at the cards that are available to see, like whatever's on the flop. You look at that and see, like, well, what's his possibility? What's the most he can have?
Right. What is the best he can have? Why is he raising right now? Mm-hmm. What could he have? What angle? So it's a lot of skill.
I think they should make sunglasses illegal. Like some of those dudes wear sunglasses.
I love it.
Like they should make that. Like you got to see their eyes. You can tell a lot about someone's eyes. Like right now, you're looking at me. You're thinking about something. Something not good. You're about to say something that's not good.
Well, of course I'm thinking. That's what I'm supposed to do.
See, but if you had sunglasses on, I'd be like, dude, man, he's probably on his computer right now. I don't know.
But you wouldn't think I was thinking if I'm on my computer? Of course I'm thinking.
I just don't like it. They put sunglasses on. It's just like, yeah, I don't like that.
I do like it. And was it Raymer, whatever? He had the like skull glasses. Like they were like weird looking funny glasses.
That's so stupid.
No, it was awesome.
And you never knew what he was doing.
Right. Or they got the headphones on, you know what I mean? Yeah. And they're just chilling like, yeah, buddy.
They always have to stay neutral. Like,
yeah, you don't know
what I'm doing.
And what's crazy is if you watch the poker is they do the exact same thing every time.
What do you mean?
They try to take the exact amount of time, like every time they look at their cards.
Oh, because you can tell the pattern.
Right.
He's rushing it. He's probably got something good.
Yes.
That's
and
crazy.
They always do the chips, like where they move the chips around. If they do it three times when they have a bad hand, they do it three times when they have a good hand. Just so you don't get a read.
That's crazy.
And it would be so hard. It's like when you get
forget.
When you get a good hand, you do start smiling.
Oh, I would get a good hand. I'd be like, yes.
Yeah. You'd be like, all right.
Or my thing would always be like, if good card, bad card. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, well, he does that every time, though. I don't know if he has a good hand or not.
Yeah. And so I want to talk about something good now. We talked about some bad.
Please, tell me something
talking about
good.
Some good. Okay. James Conner, you know who that is,
yes,
right?
He's running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Do you know his backstory?
No.
Cancer survivor?
No, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
Nope.
Okay. So in college, he went to Pitt, and him and Aaron Donald were teammates. When Conner was a freshman, Donald was a junior.
Aaron Donald plays for the Rams.
Yes.
Defensive lineman.
Yes. Second highest paid defensive lineman in the history of the NFL. He's a bad mother.
Yeah.
So Connor was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma when he was in college.
Okay.
Aaron Donald was already in the NFL. You know what I mean? Like, he could have just been like, whatever. So yesterday, James Connor shared what Aaron Donald, the text he sent him when he was diagnosed with cancer, when the news came out. This is what Aaron Donald said. He's already in the NFL. Doesn't have to worry about this guy in college. He said...
But they just went to college together? Yeah. They were roommates or no?
No. Connor was a freshman. Okay. Donald was a junior. So you know what I mean?
Together.
Yeah, they just played together. Okay. What's up, bro? I just heard. Just wanted to let you know I'm praying for you. Everybody goes through adversity, some tougher than others, but I already know you're going to bounce back stronger and better than ever. I just can't wait to see it. I'm going to be the first to tune in. You're going to look back at this one day after about 7 Pro Bowls and a couple All-Pro years and see everything that's happened to you is just going to make you stronger. It's just going to make your story that much better. You already know if you need anything, just hit me up and let me know. Keep your head up no matter what. Stay strong. And you know why he posted that?
Because
they both got named to the Pro Bowl.
Oh, wow.
And James Conner said, 3 years ago, Big
Full
Bro.
Circle.
Yeah, exactly. He said, 3 years ago, Big Bro Aaron Donald sent me this after I got diagnosed with cancer. Today is special because it's all coming to reality. One Pro Bowl down, more to come. Thank you for the motivation, bro. Hard work pays off.
Beautiful.
I mean,
that's
absolutely
great.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And just a simple text.
Just a simple text. Just nothing major. And he kept this text all this time. And like he said, it motivated him. Like, it's like, you know, this dude believes in me. And
even if Connor's career wouldn't have turned out this way,
it's still an awesome text.
It's still a great text, and it still would have helped him get through whatever he was going through at that time.
Yeah, and I don't know if they were close in college, because when you're a freshman and he's a junior and he's a star,
and you guys are in college,
you're probably not that close.
Right.
And that is just, I mean, I just thought that was such an inspirational text. Like, he took the time to reach out and just say, hey, man, I'm here for you.
Dang, man. You know, like, something, whenever you read stories like this, like we talked about the Charles Barkley one.
Charles Barkley one got me.
Yeah, and this one. And just, dude, I feel like I'm just living life wrong with, I forget texts. Like, I don't save texts like that. Like,
I've never got a text like that.
Well,
though,
that's true.
Because I've never had to face something like that.
That's true. But I'm saying, I just, like, people say stuff to me all the time. I say stuff to people all the time that I mean. I just don't really remember what I told them. I told them what I felt at that moment. But like that, like this documentation of like, man, I'll never forget this text that Aaron Donald sent to me. Pretty, like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's an amazing story. And it's amazing that he saved that text to share with all of us and inspire all of us now, currently reading this, and to do something for someone else that's going through something. And that's going back to Josh Gordon. Coach, everyone's always going through something. Like Aaron Donald said, someone is facing adversity, some more than others, but someone's always going through something.
No, yeah, someone is. I understand that.
Yeah. And it's just, man, like, dude, what a
And then he makes a Pro Bowl. Like, that's just cool. Like, it's so cool to see, and it's just such a cool text, and it's cool that he shared it. Like, he kept it that long, and he shared it. Like,
now the Rams go to the Super Bowl, though. Aaron Donald's not going to go to the Pro Bowl.
It's okay. This is more about James Conner.
I know it is.
It's more about James Conner going to the Pro Bowl. And the fact that he was named to the Pro Bowl, it doesn't matter if you go or not, because you were named to Pro Bowl. So you get
you can still write that in your title?
You're still in. Like, if you have a bonus in your contract that says, I get $50,000 if I make the Pro Bowl. He gets the money no matter what.
And he's a Pro Bowler.
Because he's a Pro Bowler. For the rest of his life, James Conner, the Pro Bowler.
It's pretty cool. All because Le'Veon Bell didn't come and play.
Yeah, all because Le'Veon Bell, and because he's really talented and he went out there and performed.
I know, but just the way the cards fell, as of now.
He got a shot because Le'Veon Bell didn't want to play on the franchise tag and turned away $14 million.
What's up with him, anyway?
He's just hanging out. He's on vacation.
He hasn't made the news.
Oh, he did a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay, good. Tell me.
I was out sick, but when the Steelers lost to the Raiders.
Yeah, what did he do?
He liked the post on Instagram.
Oh, he liked it.
He liked it. Like, he went on there and liked the like, it said final score, Raiders, whatever, Steelers, whatever, and Le'Veon Bell liked it.
Oh, my God, so dumb.
Do you love that?
I mean, I don't care.
Is that just being petty?
It's just being funny. It's just being funny.
I don't understand.
I don't think it matters either way.
See, but if I'm his, to me, I don't know why he's mad.
He's not. Go ahead.
If he should be not liking that tweet to me, it shows pettiness. and it's a disrespect for his teammates. His teammates had nothing to do with the decision to franchise him or not pay him more money. That's all management. And when you're liking that, that's sort of like a slap in the face to me, to the guys that you're going to battle with, the guys that you play with, the guys that are supposed to be your boys. That's, to me, it looks bad.
I don't think they're thinking that hard about it.
Maybe they don't even care. Just kinda maybe the other players don't care. They're like, oh, look at Le'Veon. He's funny.
That is because I laugh. I laugh at that. I don't even think it's like serious in one bit. I just think that's funny. He's like a little like, it's like my son, my little one, when he's in trouble or when my older son's in trouble, my little one just stands there and be like, yeah. Yeah, what dad said. And I'd be like, you just settle down. He'll laugh to himself. He's not really being mean. He's just kind of like picking because it's funny. Like, yeah, 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 what dad said. You're in trouble. I'm not. I love it. That's kind of how I see Le'Veon Bell being like, ah, you all lost. Love it.
See, that's like me getting kicked off the Sore Losers. Like, I'm out of here.
Right.
Whatever. And your ratings, you know, like, oh, now it's down to 100 people listening a day instead of 300.
And you like it.
And I like it. That's kind of disrespectful to you guys. Like, wouldn't you take that as like, man, what's your problem, dude? Like, why do you like our demise?
I guess I see that, but I don't know. I mean, I would think your personality wouldn't like that. Like, your personality wouldn't be the kind of just be like, I like that they're failing. It's not your personality.
Right. I wouldn't want anybody to fail, but he's spiteful.
Yeah, for his move. It was his decision.
Yeah.
Like it is weird. The whole thing's weird.
Okay. Oh, and I forgot to tell you. Last night, I wanted to tell you about this. Last night, my soccer game, it got dirty.
What?
Okay. So
Like it was muddy?
No. We played indoor last night.
Oh, okay.
And I'm 37 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
And the wheels are getting a little rusty.
No.
The joints are definitely, they're locking up at times. There's a leak in the oil pan. Like, there's the belts are getting a little cracky.
No.
Yeah.
No. I still am out
there. I mean, the car moves. It just squeaks.
Anyways, I'm probably one of the older ones in the league.
That's what I'm saying.
Probably one of the older ones in the league.
Sure.
And I don't know what it is about me, but I make people so mad on the soccer field.
Or in life. Go ahead.
In life, whatever. I don't know if I put how I push their buttons, but I push their buttons somehow.
Yeah.
That people hate me.
They don't hate you. You just rub people the wrong way.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Last night, I rubbed someone the wrong way again.
Okay, who was it?
Some guy on the other team. So I'm pretty competitive, would you say?
Yes, very competitive.
Very competitive. So I'm out there, and I'm trying my hardest. And you're going to bump into each other. You know, that's soccer. You bump into each other. You every once in a while, you're going to commit a foul. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy, he fouls our girl, whatever. And the ref calls it and he gets kind of mad.
Co-ed. Okay.
Yeah, co-ed. So then he fouls me later and he was like, oh, come on, ref. I didn't even touch him. And I was like, yeah, you did. And he was like, I wasn't even near him. Okay, whatever. You pushed me right in the back. Fine. So the next play, the ball's coming to him. And I go in hard.
Yeah, I mean, knowing that you guys are already on a foul battle.
Yeah.
Kinda, you guys are fouling each other.
Yeah, we're kind of already, you know, and the ref calls a foul. I said, ref, I didn't even touch him. I wasn't even near him.
Oh, you quote him.
I quote him.
Exactly what he said.
I use his quote to get back at him. Okay? No big deal. I don't mind that. That's the little back and forth.
Of course you don't mind it.
This is where it gets dirty. So then he gets it and he has his back. The ball's coming to him and his back's to me. So I run up and he throws the elbow.
Oh, to your face?
It was coming towards my face, hit me in the chest.
Ooh.
And I pushed him. I said, that's some little bee stuff.
Oh, bit.
Bee. Yeah. Bee. Yeah. Okay. I said, I got to go to work in the morning, man. Like, yeah, I'm
this
not
face makes money.
No, I'm not even about my face, but. I said, that's dirty. I said, if you foul me, you foul me, but that's bull crap. Blah, blah, blah. Another guy on my team pushes him.
Oh, God, the whole team's getting in.
Yeah, my buddy James pushes
okay.
him.
Okay.
And they have to go sit down for 2 minutes.
Okay.
And the other,
wait, who has to go? The
James guy? And the guy that threw the elbow.
So not you.
I didn't get that. No. I didn't have to go sit down.
You guys have been battling the whole game, but you didn't get
it.
Okay.
Well, because he threw the elbow.
I get
and
it.
And then my buddy James pushes him.
Yeah, James shouldn't have stepped in.
So then this girl on the other team just keeps yapping her mouth.
Gosh,
yapping her mouth. Blah, 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 blah. And there's a play, and the ball's going to go in the goal, and I don't want it to go in the goal, so I just hit it with my hand.
Oh, coach.
It's okay. So they call a penalty kick.
Of course.
You know, so the guy gets a penalty kick. Yeah, of course, because I wasn't supposed to use my hands.
Because it's soccer.
Yeah, and then some guy on their team goes, this skinny guy wants to get his ass kicked.
Oh, you heard that.
And I said, I want to get my ass kicked? And he goes, I'm not talking to you. I'm like, you're looking right at me.
And you said skinny guy. Yeah. And that's me.
Yeah, I'm the skinny guy. Yeah. I got it. Just because I wasn't going to let the ball go in. What's the big deal? But boy, they were so mad.
What's the big deal? Coach, if that would have happened to you guys, if you were kicking a goal and they put their hand up to block it.
I would just yell handball. I wouldn't say you want to get your ass kicked.
That's, to me, putting your hand up, coach, and I'm not just arguing with you to argue with you. That's a B move.
Well, you're supposed to stop the goal.
Not with your hands.
If the ref doesn't see it, then what's the big deal? But he saw it. He called it, and they got a penalty kick, and they made the penalty kick.
Oh, my goodness.
But he goes, this dude wants to get his ass kicked.
All right, and then?
And I'm like, what are you talking about? I was like, whatever, dude. But they were so mad at me the whole game. Like, I made them so mad. And I was just like, I left the game going, do I just make people mad all the time?
So what happened in the parking lot?
Well, no, after the game, we shake hands, you shake hands,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
You suck. Good game.
What's it?
Kiss my peep.
On the field, I'm fine, whatever, it doesn't matter. And that guy that threw the elbow shakes my hand and goes, you're still a little B.
What? How old is he? Let me give me a reference.
27.
27, good-looking dude.
I don't know. Kind of fat.
He's kind of fat. Okay.
He's stocky. I mean, okay. He's bigger than
me. He's not ripped like muscle.
No, I wouldn't say ripped, but you know, he's definitely got some muscles, okay. But he's still got a little chunk on him.
Okay, little padding over the muscles.
Yeah, but he's solid. He's a bigger dude.
And like, he's 10 years younger than you.
Probably.
Okay.
And he goes, you're still a little B, and I was like, I'm still a little B, Hal. And I was like, I don't care about you tripping me, fouling me, pushing me. I said, but when you throw the elbow, man, I said, that's when I get a little mad. I said, that's not how you play. I was like, we're adults. Like, we're playing.
Did you talk to him in this tone?
Yeah. I was okay. Like, that. And he goes, well, I thought it was a little B move when you fouled me right there. I was like, I mean, if you want to call that a B move, it's just a foul. Like, yeah. I mean, I was going for the ball. If I kicked your foot, my bad.
You do have a different demeanor when the game's going on. Like, you are highly competitive during a game. During a game, around the golf, whatever, you're highly competitive. As soon as it's over, that's when I'm sorry, like, whatever. Oh,
and that's how I look at it. It's if it happens during the game, who cares? But to still call me a little B after the game, like...
Yeah, it's stupid.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Like, it happened in the field. Oh, no big deal. People talk. I mean, you get... In the game, people get hyped up and aggressive.
Sure.
I get it.
Yeah, you're in the moment.
You're in the moment.
But there's something about that. I don't know what it is. Remember that time we were playing golf and that old man just didn't like you?
He didn't like me.
It's weird.
It's just weird.
I think it's just how rough your voice is and your just demeanor towards them of just like being competitive and just rough. No one, like I feel like, okay, maybe this is it. Especially when we play golf. We're at the age, Lunchbox, where it doesn't matter who wins. Like, we're just going to play golf for fun. These guys, I don't know if they're, I mean, I guess they're, are they competitive in the sport? It's co-ed. How competitive can you be in co-ed?
I mean,
like, really, half of your team are girls. You know, some of them are just joining for fun. They're not really competitive either. Some of the guys, they're just trying to have a good time. Is it highly competitive?
I mean, it's competitive, but that's what I'm saying.
So maybe it's not as competitive as you.
But at the end of the day, you're not winning the World Cup. And
right.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't know why people get so mad. I don't.
But you're competitive.
But I don't get mad. Like, I don't.
You're mad enough to keep fouling back.
No, I didn't even try to foul. I just went hard and tried to get the ball. And the ref called a foul. Okay, my bad. I thought I got the ball, but he said I got his foot. That's fine. It wasn't like I just went and tripped him or anything or just shoved him.
When are you going to stop playing soccer? Like, when are you going to stop playing with the kids?
I don't know. I hopefully never. I mean,
what do you mean?
You heard me. I hopefully never.
Are you the oldest guy in the league?
I don't know, but I'm probably one of the oldest guys in the league.
What, like, have you ever played in a league where there's a dude that's like, okay, this guy's in his 60s, like he can't play with us anymore?
No one in their 60s. No,
okay.
I don't think he would be able to.
What would be the oldest?
45, 40.
Not too bad.
Right.
Is that going to be you?
I hope. I like the way I look at it is once my kid starts having
games
and practices, then I won't be able to play anymore.
Okay, because you're going to be taking him to his
practices. Well, because hopefully I'll be coaching.
Oh, you're going to coach their team?
Absolutely.
Oof. Dude, let me warn you. Let me warn you, coaching 4-year-olds, 3-year-olds.
Oh, you been a coach?
5-year-olds. No, I've sat through practices and I'm like, God help that coach.
Right.
I'm not doing this. And the poor coach, really, it's just like, all right, we're going to do, you know what? You guys just kick around. It's fine. It's like, it's fine. You guys just do what you're doing. No one's listening to me anyway. Coach, it's brutal. Like, there's this one dad who you can tell he's just an athlete. He loves sports. He joined the league to be a coach because he cared about it. He wanted his son to get better, and he's telling his kid how to get involved. Coach, as soon as the game started, his kid started crying. His kid didn't even want to play soccer anymore. So he's just like, Dad gummit, like, all right, just go sit down then. Fine. You could tell they work every day, and the kid just didn't want to play. And they're just crying. I don't want to go in. I don't want to play. He's like, this is so stupid.
That's funny. So
everybody just run around and try to kick the ball. Who cares?
That's funny. I like it. But yeah, I just want to give you I forgot
that
was
about
fun. I was like, man, I got into it again last night. And I just.
You need to chill, dude.
I don't try to make people mad, but I just rub people the wrong way, I think.
You do. Sometimes you rub me the wrong way.
But I think it's because I hustle. Like, I have so much energy and I run around and I hustle and it annoys people.
No, you're competitive.
I try hard.
You're competitive. You fight.
I don't fight.
You do. You fight with me on the golf course.
I do fight with you on the golf course.
All right.
And speaking of fighting, people have been fighting for recruits, and early signing day was yesterday. And I got to say, Alabama number one, Georgia two, sure. A&M three, whatever. But can I just say, OU, Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
I want to give them props for how they announced all their recruits.
How did
it
they do
was
that?
So cool. They put videos, and it was like, okay, these group of girls are at a party, okay, and they're all sitting around, blah, 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 and they're like, ooh, let's play a record. So they go, and they start looking through the records, and they pull one out, and it like has someone's name on it.
It's a player.
And it's a player, but what you do is you go and you put it on the record player,
uh-huh.
and you put the needle on it, and as it's going to go play, then boom, it's a highlight of that guy.
Oh, cool.
Playing like his highlights.
Yeah, his high school highlights.
Yeah, or there's someone at a record store shopping, and they're going through all the records, and then they find one, they pull it out, and it's another athlete. Yeah. I don't know their name. And then they go and they, let me see what this sounds like, and they go put it on the record player, and boom, his highlights flash.
That's cool.
It was really cool. I don't have any, I don't follow recruiting. Okay, yes, okay.
Well, I don't understand how you follow recruiting. It's high school. Like, I don't
but know. A lot of people, there's a lot of services that rank these guys. Like,
there are
this
magazines.
Guy, yes, there's magazines, there's websites, but I don't get into it that much. I'll wait until I see him on the field.
Exactly. On Saturday.
Yeah, when you tell me, okay, this guy was a freshman, incoming freshman, great. I don't know, because half of them don't pan out, half of them transfer. So who knows about this? But the rankings, but I just thought it was cool.
OU
videos, they were really neat.
That's cool. And something I found out too, are they having the NFL draft in Nashville?
Yes.
I had no idea. This is amazing. Are we going to go? Can we get access as a sports
podcast?
Yeah. I think that we can. And we should start working on that now.
If we can go and interview the people, and
there's got to be media day.
There's got to be media day, right?
And we've got to be there with a hidden mic.
We don't need a hidden mic if we're a sports show. But what do we want to talk to him about?
Whatever we want.
I mean, that would be kind of fun.
We could play Would You Rather with him.
I would go if they would let us. I have no idea if we have any credibility enough to get into the NFL draft. Because
I'll work on getting credentials.
Okay, you work on that.
We're gonna do that.
Speaking on working on,
yeah.
Anthony Davis to the Lakers.
No.
There's a lot of smoke.
No.
A lot of smoke.
LeBron, dude, that would be dangerous.
They came out and asked LeBron, and he said, I would love to have Anthony Davis in LA.
Of course you would.
Because Anthony Davis is awesome. Anthony Davis.
He's so good.
The unibrow is so good, and he's only 24, 25, 26 years old. He's a young dude.
He's young. He's huge.
He's huge. So, the Pelicans, I know that, quote unquote, he's not on the trading block, but if you have any inclination that he is going to leave in free agency after next year, you have to trade him. And if you're the Lakers, the only person that is untouchable, the only person you will not trade is LeBron James.
Sure.
Everybody else, who do you want? Give me Anthony Davis. Because, you know, those younger guys, okay, yes, they could be good. They could be superstars. But what do you need? You need superstars to win.
You're talking about the Lakers?
Yes.
Okay.
You take Anthony Davis and LeBron James, and then you'll figure it out. Someone else,
yeah.
You can find people to go around
them. Yeah, get rid of Ball. That's fine. But who... But, I mean, the Pelicans lose Anthony Davis, they're done.
Well,
like, who are they going to get but that's going to change their team? Anthony Davis is just the team.
But they're not that good right now. I mean, they're okay. They're
right, but the reason they win games is because Anthony Davis.
Right. But they're a middle-of-the-road team. So what do you do? Do you try to keep trying? I'm not saying they want to get rid of him, but what if he doesn't want to re-sign? And you're going to lose him. Then you got to go. And so, sort of like Kawhi, the Spurs had to get rid of him because he didn't want to play. They had to get rid of Carmelo Anthony in Denver because he didn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. And you were going to lose into free agency, so you got to trade him. Sort of like the Cavaliers. They hung on to LeBron. What'd they get for LeBron James?
What did they get?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Because he left in free agency. He gone. He just signed with the Lakers. And that was it. So if you're a superstar, that's how the NBA has changed. Superstars come out and say, I don't want to be here, so then you got to trade them. You have to because you don't get anything for them.
That's crazy.
The Pacers, Paul George, he said, I want out. I'm not going to re-sign. So what? They had to trade him. So if Anthony Davis is telling you behind the scenes, Pelicans, that, hey, I'm not going to re-sign, don't be hard-headed and think you can convince him. You got to trade him to the Lakers.
He's going to want to go. He's going to want to play with LeBron, right?
Yes. I think everybody wants to play with LeBron.
Well, no, but they always say that, you know, there's the LeBron shadow. Like, you know, you don't want to be under LeBron. Like, you're not going to get any playing time.
I know. That's what Kevin Durant says, that you don't want, because LeBron gets all the credit.
Correct.
That may be a little jealousy. Is that a little jealousy when he says fanboys in the media?
I think so.
Because, hey, look at me. I'm good, too.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he has a little bit of jealousy of LeBron and how much credit he gets and how much love he gets.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And the Golden State Warriors lost again last night. And Steph Curry said, we need to get our edge back. And the Warriors are in trouble. The Warriors are in trouble now because people aren't scared of them. That's the difference between the Warriors. 2 years ago, people were just like in awe and scared and like, man. And now they realize, you know what? We can beat these guys. And I feel like people are more confident.
Yeah.
And that's where the Warriors are in trouble, is because teams now believe they can beat them. A couple years ago, they never thought, oh my gosh, we can hang with the Warriors because they have these three superstars, and how do we do this?
Yep.
Now, woo, everybody says, you know what? Screw the Warriors.
Anybody can beat anybody right now.
It's like, awesome.
It's amazing. That's why I like gambling on basketball so hard right now, because it's just like, yeah, oh yeah, they're playing the Knicks? Oh yeah, they'll beat the Knicks. No, anybody can beat anybody right now.
Right, and that's why it's so fun to watch.
It is fun. But, I mean, what is happening with Golden State, though?
Oh, I mean, they're good. I mean, they're just they've lost 11 games already this year. That's it. I mean, they're just...
Because they're still good.
They're still solid. They're still really good. And they may get it rolling again. Like, now that everybody's back, they may get it rolling where they just start blowing people out. Okay, but they lost to Utah last night. And so that's what I'm saying, is they're not as intimidating as they used to be. They don't walk around like, oh, they're gods. They just, other teams look at them as like, oh, they're just another NBA team. The Rockets almost beat them in Game 7 last year, the Western Conference Finals. We can stick with them. And it could be different when you get in a 7-game series. But right now in the regular season, they're not dominating like they were dominating. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. But I like it. I like the even playing field. I like everyone. Maybe this year it's going to be like, oh, we're going to get down to the very end. And we're going to be like, all right, well, who's making the playoffs?
Years past, you knew it was the Warriors.
We knew.
You knew the Warriors were going to the championship. You knew the Cavaliers were going to the championship. That's it.
Yep.
Guarantee you this year, I can promise you the Cavaliers are not going to the NBA Finals.
Correct.
That's it. That's the only guarantee I got. I mean, I got guarantees that the Warriors will be in the playoffs, but I can't guarantee you they're going to the finals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was trying to think of anyone else who is not going.
Oh, the Phoenix Suns are not going to the playoffs. The New York Knicks are not going to the playoffs. The Chicago Bulls are not going to the playoffs. Exactly.
Yes. Those would be guarantees.
Those are guarantees. Those are the only guarantees, but I can't guarantee.
Are we halfway there yet?
No.
We're less than half.
Yes, less than. And I wish the NBA didn't start till Christmas Day.
Yeah, that would be great.
Because it gets lost a little bit in the
NFL. That's okay. That's kind of how it goes, though. Like, you have to overlap because the season's so long.
Right. But a couple years ago when they had the lockout and they were playing 3 games in 4 days.
Remember that?
It was so awesome. Because every night you could watch them on TV. You didn't wait 3 days in between games. But for their bodies, I think it's better to have more days off.
Correct.
Because you want higher quality, you want less injuries, things like that. But I wish the NBA started Christmas Day. That should be the coming out party. It's Christmas Day when they have the triple header on ESPN or ABC, and you sit around the Christmas tree with Santa Claus, your eggnog, you got Rudolph in the backyard grazing on the grass and saying, hey, put on LeBron. You're done opening presents. You're having bubble bread.
I'd rather watch bowl games.
Really?
I'd rather watch football.
No, these bowl games. Like, did you watch the bowl game last night?
For the first half, and then I was like, all right, game over. We're done.
Wow. I didn't even watch 1 second of
you
it.
You didn't?
No.
Yeah, well, these are smaller schools, but I mean, I'm talking about Christmas Day. They're going to be better games during that time.
Let's see.
During that time?
Do you have the games pulled up?
No, I don't.
Christmas Day bowl games. Let's see.
Here.
Okay, 2000, let's see.
There you go, 20. There's nothing on Christmas Day, but the day after.
Okay, there you go. So you'd rather watch bowl games on Christmas Day. Too bad there are none.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, there aren't. I mean, the beginning of the NBA season isn't Christmas Day either. Like,
it should be.
I know, but it's not. So there are no bowl games. I'd rather watch football. Well, there's NFL, though, on Christmas Day, right?
No.
Nothing on Christmas Day?
No.
Just NBA.
Hey, on a Tuesday, you think there's NFL?
There better be.
There's no NFL tonight. Thursday night football's done. It's over.
Oh, it's over. They're not. So what does Joe Buck and Troy Aikman do?
They're just hanging out. They're going to enjoy. They're going to do Christmas early with their family.
Nice. Good for them.
Yeah.
Good
well, no, probably then. Not because Christmas is on Tuesday, so they'll be off on Tuesday. They'll be able to do Christmas. It's not like Thanksgiving. Yeah. What about Nick Saban going to the NFL?
What about
There's rumors that...
There's no way. There's no chance. There's no chance he's going to the NFL.
What if they come and offer him $10 million?
He won't do it. He'd suck in the NFL. He would suck. It would be career-ending for him. It would be a move that he would think he'd make. They'd all laugh at him and be like, I told you, you're not that good of a coach. You can't go pro and be a good coach. Go back to college. And then he's going to go back to college. And then Alabama's going to be like, sorry, coach, we already filled your spot. We're still winning without you.
No, they wouldn't win without
him. Oh, no?
They weren't winning without him before he got there. And now they would not win without him. Well, maybe. Maybe someone will be able to maintain what he's
maintain
built.
Because he's already built it.
Because he's built
it's
it.
It's almost like someone that takes over Coca-Cola right now. Hey, the formula's already there, dude. Like, I can go in and take over Coca-Cola and keep selling.
Sort of like...
I'm not going to reinvent Coca-Cola.
Right. It's at LSU, once he left LSU to go to the pros, Les Miles was able to win a national title with what I felt like was Nick Saban's players.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kept him in the hunt. He didn't win anything really after that.
But he maintained.
He maintained a little bit. I don't know if you can keep the same level, but you may be able to stay competitive. But you're not going to win national title after national title after national title just because Nick Saban leaves. And you just go to Alabama and you are the same, not the same person. But I don't see why Nick Saban would ever leave Alabama.
Right.
They're putting they got statues up of that guy. He's making so much money. He has no pressure because all he does is win. All he does is win national titles. And so they're never going to fire him. So why would you leave? I bet you don't ever have to spend your money. You live in Tuscaloosa. You got a private jet wherever you want to go. Why?
And you're God. You're a God. You're on the top of the world right now. Like, why would you even risk that?
You're a God.
He's going to be nothing in the NFL if he makes that move.
I hope nothing. I hope he doesn't. And I don't know if his personality would mix well with NFL players.
What do you mean? Belichick does it. Both grumpy McGrumpersons.
No, but I think Belichick's actually a nice, fun guy.
I think, dude, I saw this thing with Maria Taylor. Like, what do they do? It's almost like a carpool karaoke where they ride around in a car and they talk. She does this thing with coaches.
Okay.
And they promote it of him. He was smiling laughing.
Saban. Oh, I'm not buying it.
Hey, he was laughing and smiling and being happy, holly, jolly. Like, I was like, huh? I had to rewind it. Was that really Saban? It was really him. Dude, maybe he is a fun guy. I don't know.
Yeah. And how about this dude? 16 years old, the youngest to ever score in the Indian Professional Soccer League.
How old
16.
Is he? He looks like he's 25. He's got a mustache.
Dude, big old.
Dude, that reminds me of the dudes we used to play in high school at La Jolla. And it was like this little town.
Yeah, I know La Jolla.
You know La Jolla? Yeah. Okay, we used to play La Jolla in junior high, and all these dudes had mustaches and beards, and we were like, wait a second. Like, you're easily 10 years older than all of us.
Dude, they had a big story. He was a 16-year-old first.
He's not 16,
the
coach.
Youngest person in the Indian Soccer League to score.
He's not 16.
And then he got all this national press, and then they did some investigating. He's 30.
Coach, he looks 30. I mean, let's see, gotta post that. Put that on our Twitter, people need to.
Like, he was posing as a 16-year-old.
Coach, who bought that?
Dude, everybody, there was everywhere that a 16-year-old scores. Like, it was all over. And all you had
dude's
to do
got
was
a mustache.
Look at the picture and be like, that dude's not 16.
Easy.
And you want to hear a funny story about, what? Like, kids not being the right age?
Yeah.
When I was 12 years old, I played on the Bulldogs, Balcones Youth Soccer Association. Right. Okay.
Balcones, Austin, Texas.
Yep. Youth Soccer Association. We made it all the way to the state championship out in El Paso. And we show up and we play the Chivas.
Oh, that's a goat in Spanish.
And coach.
Oh, no, that's Chivo. My bad. Chivas is it's a team in Mexico, Chivas.
Dude.
Yeah.
They were 21 years old.
They were Mexican?
They had mustaches and beards, and my dad was just like, there is no way. And there was one team filming, and they got kicked out, and they were like, and he was like, yeah, I'm trying to film because these guys have illegal players. And my dad's like, well, what are we going to do about it?
Right.
And they,
how old are they? Oh, how old were you all supposed to be?
12.
12.
12. And my dad was like, these were grown men. Grown men. And they beat us, I think, 3-1. But they dominated us. Dominated
grown
us.
Grown men, coach.
It was so sad. But yes, they beat us, the Chivas. But yes, we played a team with a bunch of men when we were 12
years
old.
Dude, that was like La Jolla, man. Middle school was like, what is happening? These dudes are gigantic. And I remember I played special teams in junior high. And I remember running in there and getting blocked by some dude. And he was laying on top of me. And we were like face to face, face masks touching each other. And I look at him like...
Did you stick your tongue out at him?
No.
Like, ah.
No, I just looked at him like, dude, you got a full-on mustache. Like for real. I can't. I've dreamt of a mustache like that.
Yeah. Well, sort of like this guy in the 16.
That was a good stash.
Yeah. All right. That's all I got.
Hey, props, though. I hit my shut the door last night.
Oh, you didn't hit your shut the door on Ohio. I mean,
what?
You had no written. I love it. I'm glad you
did.
That's good. I'm glad they won.
Hey, dude, they didn't just win. They won.
Yeah, you got another one tonight?
Yeah, let's go tonight. We're sticking to the bowl games. And tonight we have, I moved it. Oh, we have Marshall in South Florida. It's called the Gasparilla Bowl. Is that right?
Where is it?
It's in Tampa.
Oh, okay.
At Raymond James.
I don't know the Gasparilla. I don't know what bowl that.
Coach, I mean, they're all businesses. I don't know.
No, I understand.
I feel like this is like a paint company or something. I don't know what it is. But right now, Marshall is favored by 3.5.
All right.
I don't know if we should take Marshall.
There's no we. Is there a mouse in your pocket? I'm not
taking
him.
Me and my mouse. Me and my mouse in my pocket.
Okay.
I'm going to go Charlie Strong. I'm going to pick Charlie Strong in this battle, in this feud. South Florida, they're given point. They're given 3.5.
They're getting
3.5 points. 3.5 points. The Bulls, is that who they are, the Bulls?
Yeah.
Are they the Bulls?
Yeah, the South
That's
Florida
That's their
Bulls.
Mascot? Yeah. Okay, the South Florida Bulls. +3.5. Shut the door on it. Let's make some money. Although I think that the Marshall herd will win. I just don't think they'll cover. Dang, that's not a lot of confidence in that one, but I'm going to shut the door on it because I need my percentage to go up.
Yeah, do.
Like you guys are dominating me. You and Ray are just killing me on our locks.
That's okay.
No, it's not okay. I need my average to go up. So I've just been sitting out banking.
I mean, I have no idea if Ray hit his last night. I don't even remember.
What was his?
The Knicks.
I don't have no idea.
Yeah, I have no. It was the over under in the Knicks game, but I don't know what the line was.
Okay, and by the way, Ray is out celebrating with his girl because she just took her last treatment.
We don't need to talk about that.
Well, she is an inspiration on social media. She's taken that thing to help other people that are going through it. So, I mean, I just want to give her a shout out. Bay, Ray's girlfriend, shout out at doing what you're doing.
And before we go, I want to ask your opinion. What would you do? Like, how would you, if you would do this to your sons? There's a family. They're going on vacation to New Zealand, okay? And he took an advertisement out in the New Zealand paper saying...
Wait, what? They're going on vacation to
New Zealand. Yes, they're going...
And then he took an advertisement out in his paper.
In the New Zealand paper.
Oh, okay.
And he said, "Hello, parents. We are from the States, Oregon, visiting your beautiful country. My wife and I have 3 wonderful, successful, handsome, alas, unmarried sons between the ages of 28 and 32. We are not expecting, just hoping to introduce our sons to some nice New Zealand daughters. At the very least, we'll embarrass our sons, and the truth is, we do find some enjoyment in that. Our family will be arriving on December 26, 2018, and leaving on January 7, 2019. Email me. My email address is neil.brighttapped@gmail.com.
Wow. Wow, that's funny. That's really funny. I mean, I think they're this type of family that just does crap like this all the time. That's really funny. Now, will they find chicks?
Yes.
No, they won't.
Oh my gosh. No. You know how many chicks are going to respond to this?
None. No one.
Since placing the ad, the father said he has received more than 200 responses.
Please.
And
why? And then what are they going to do? Just go on dates while they're there?
They could fall in love.
Fall in love through an ad that your parents put up?
It's just like a dating app.
Not going to happen.
All right.
That's pretty funny, though.
Hilarious.
I love it. Props to the parents.
Yeah.
That's fun parenting right there.
That's fun parenting. All right. Have a wonderful day. Sore Loser Show on Twitter. We're out of here.
All right. Thanks for listening.
I need a nap.
You do?
Yeah, why not? I watched Survivor last night till midnight, dude.
Why? Did it go? Oh, you got late.
Yeah, well, because I had to pause it and then go to my soccer game, and then I had to come home and wake up my wife and watch it so we could finish it. And it was, I mean.
Wake up your wife? What, you can't watch that by yourself?
No, we watched it together.
Oh.
And it was one of the best seasons I've ever seen. It was so good, such good gameplay, such great strategy, backstabbing, the use of intelligence and using advantages together was just well done.
I believe you.
All right.
I'll never watch it, but I believe you.
All right, we're out.
All right, thanks for listening. Goodbye.